we were here together. How many of you were here last week? How many of you can remember till last week? But anyway, when we were here together last week, I started a message and I said it was going to be a mini series on revival praying. And I said that we have been praying in this church for a revival, that it would begin right here in our hearts, it would begin in our homes, it would begin in our church, and an awakening would be in our community. And we've been praying for that. A group of men have been praying for that on Saturday mornings. And it's just voluntary. Nobody's going to come and get anybody if they're not there. But it's just something that God has laid it on our hearts, and we've been praying for that. And I said last week that we were going to preach on Ephesians 3, 14 and following. So please turn there in your copy of God's Word, the King James Bible. And I said that this prayer here that's being prayed is a model prayer for revival, and that the Apostle Paul prayed it, listen to me, for all of his churches that he planted. And the Ephesian church is just one of them. And they had the power of God. They had the presence of Christ. They had experiences that are higher than the average churches today. Amen. The New Testament, revival, somebody has said, is an act of God that will take a subnormal church and do a supernormal work to a subnormal church to bring it back to normal power and practice. Amen? And I've said something like that, and I'll say it tonight. That's revival. It's a supernatural work of God to take a subnormal church and bring it back to normal presence and power of God in that church. And that's what we've been praying for. And I said last week from Ephesians 4, 14 through 16, and take your Bible and look at that. It says in verse 14, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named." And we talked about that last week, and we said in verse 16 that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. And we said last week that revival praying is addressed to the source of your strength. Are you tapping in to the source of your strength? We said last week that God is all powerful. We said that there's no limit to his power, but that he will allow you to share his power, that you can tap into his power, and we need to do that. And we said that he's the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, and he's a faithful promise-making, promise-keeping God who said he would send Christ, and he sent him, who said that Christ is coming again, and he keeps his promises. And so when you pray and you tap into the source of your power, you need to be praying scripturally to a faithful God who will perform his word. And then we said that the source of your strength is also a great, big, almighty, and all-powerful God. And we said that the acts of the apostles are the acts of the Holy Spirit through the apostles. And it says in Acts 4:33, "And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them." So if they had great power, amen, and they had great grace upon them, is it possible for us to have lesser grace and lesser power? Well, one of the men tell me, raise your hand if you know. Yes, he says, it is possible. And that is why a lot of believers are subnormal, because they're settling for subnormal. If you settle, that's what you'll get. But God says, seek me while I may be found. Call upon me while I'm near. And that's what we need to be doing. We need to have revival praying that is addressed to the source of your strength. But there's a second thing, not only that in Ephesians 3, 14 through 16, but it is in verse 17 of the same chapter. Revival praying is not only addressed to the source of your strength, but is aimed at Christ settling down in your heart. Is aimed at that. We said this last week. Now, is every believer indwelt by the Holy Spirit? Romans 8, 9 says, yes, if you have not the Spirit of Christ, you're none of his. And it's not only the Holy Spirit, but he is the Spirit of Christ. What does that mean? Well, that he is one just like the Lord Jesus. He is God just like the Lord. He is just like the Lord. The Lord said, I'll send you another comforter. The word there, another, means one just like me, another just like me. And the Holy Spirit is just like Jesus. And he's in us. He's in every believer. But wait a minute. Does every believer have Christ dwelling in their heart by faith? One of the men tell me, yes or no? Does every believer have Christ dwelling in their heart according to Ephesians 3:17 by faith? Does every believer have that? Well, the answer is very simply no. You say, why not? Well, then why would Paul be praying for them to have it? If every believer had it, he's writing to believers, why would he be praying for them to have it? And we talked about this last week, and we said that this is part of revival. It's another step and stage in revival. Revival is a work of the Holy Spirit on your heart, strengthening you in your inner man. You need to start with God. Amen? You need to start with the source of revival. That's God. We don't work revival up. We don't plan revival out. We pray revival down. Are you doing it? And when you're praying revival down, another stage of that process of God sending revival, my friends, is that now Christ settles down and he makes himself at home in your heart by faith. Now, sometimes, I said last week, there's clutter in my office. And I come in and nobody's here that day, and maybe it's on a Monday especially, and I get in there, I can't get in the cupboards, I can't get in the trays to get the stuff out, and I just have to get stuff out of the way and make sure everything is where I need it to be so I can work. And I said, that's the way it is in your heart. The Lord finds clutter in your heart. And what is that clutter? It's extraneous stuff, extra things that you don't need. They're not necessarily sinful. But there are things you don't need and you let them crowd out. Listen, the good can become the enemy of the best. And you let it crown out the best. Jesus Christ is our best. Amen. Our best friend. And you let that crowd out. And I compared it to marriage. You know, my wife and I went yesterday. We had such a blessed time taking my daughter and mother there. But the best time was coming back alone, being together. We got the honey and the honeymoon going. Amen. That's the best. The best is being with my beloved. That's the best. I enjoy that. I said, I enjoy that. I feel sorry for people. They're just going through the duty of marriage, but they're not enjoying the companionship. It's not good for man to be alone. God made that companionship. But listen, you can have that with Christ too. It can be like heaven on earth. And many believers are missing that. Why? Because of clutter, extraneous stuff. And also because of unconfessed sin, not cleansed by the blood of Jesus. And we don't keep shared accounts with sin and let the crud build up. And so Christ is not at home. My wife, you know, when she gets a chance, man, she wants to do that kitchen floor and clean it up. And she was cleaning the refrigerator at church today and at home. She's a clean freak. She cleans it all up. And I'm glad she's a clean freak. And I'm glad the Holy Spirit's a clean freak. And he wants to clean you out with the Word of God. So Christ can be at home. Is he at home? This is another step and stage of revival praying. And I just don't want to pray for these things. I don't want to just preach on these things. Because once I'm done preaching, I'm just like you. I want to live it. I listen to it again on the cell phone or the computer. I do listen to these messages. And I want to experience them in my life. And so that is the second thing. Not only is it addressed to the source of your strength and the power of the Holy Spirit from the Father, but it's aimed at Christ settling down and making his home in your heart by faith. And then thirdly, we said last week, it's aimed at Christ's love being your meditation and motivation. And we said when Christ is at home in your heart because of a touch of the Holy Ghost, Guess what? Now love will motivate you for what you do. The Lord's love will motivate you. And that's a wonderful place to be in. So often Christians are not motivated by the love of Christ. And things seem to drag on rather than fly by. Amen. You can have a wonderful time. I like it when I have a fast day. How many have ever had a fast day? That means you eat no food. You just drink liquid or water. And you know what? You realize how much you look forward to food. But does the Bible says life does not consist in the abundance of the things that we possess. And I might say it this way, life does not consist in the abundance of the Big Macs that we eat or whatever we eat. No, it consists in walking with the Lord and in loving him. And the Bible says, I have this against you, Ephesian church, later on, this same church. You have left that first love. They had it and they left it. Perhaps there's been a time in your life you had a revival of sorts, and that first honeymoon love was there with the Lord, and he was number one, and he was all that thrills my soul is Jesus. But now you're just going through the motions. That's not what the New Testament saints had. No, you read about it. That's not what saints have in revival. You check it out. I don't want to settle for anything less. As the scripture hath said, out of your belly there shall flow rivers of living water. As what the scripture has said, I want God to perform the scripture in my life. And so it's aimed at your being motivated by the love of God, by Christ's love. And we preached on that last week, but now we want to get into the next part of this, and the part I didn't preach on. In being motivated by the love of Christ, a part of revival and another stage of revival is when you begin to meditate upon the love of Christ. And I'm speaking now of your mental life. I'm speaking of your thought life, where you meditate upon this love of Christ. You're girding up the loins of your mind. The Holy Spirit strengthens you so that Christ is now at home in your heart. And when he's at home in your heart, he makes his love known to you, and now you're motivated by his love. But he also helps you, listen, to gird up the loins of your mind and meditate upon the love of Christ. And for this, let's go to the next verse here that we want to look at. And that is Ephesians 3:18. We looked at 14 through 16, point number one. And then the next one, Ephesians 3:17. Look at verse 18. It says, may be able to comprehend with all the saints. What is the breadth and length and depth and height? Now he's speaking about the love of Christ still. Not only are we to be motivated by it, but we're to meditate upon it. And this is what we want to preach on tonight, verse 18. And notice it says, may be able to comprehend. This speaks about God touching you by the Holy Spirit again to do this in answer to prayer. Because naturally, Jesse, you're going to meditate on guns all the time. Amen. Naturally, we're going to meditate on food all the time, if that's what we tend to go to. Naturally, we're going to meditate upon this or upon that all the time. But he says, you need that touch from God so that you're meditating upon the love of God. So let's look at it a little bit. It says, first of all, what is the breadth of Christ's love? Now, what does that mean? You ever hear the song, deep and wide, deep and far? Well, it's the width of God's love, the breadth of Christ's love. You know, I've shared it before. I'll share it again. I know Brother Eric knows because he knows every time I share something, he knows all about it. He's heard it before and he listens to it. But years ago in our church, when we started in the ghettos of Scranton, that's where our church started. And I had a Bible study and reached out to a guy. He prayed to receive Christ. He was an African-American guy, and his wife was a Caucasian. And George and Ann Hebron, their names were. And I had such a good time with them. And Mr. Hebron, he liked soul food. So I started eating soul food. And we'd have dinners with soul food. And he had the old soul food. I mean, you're talking hog maws and chitlins and ham hocks. You know, how many of you have had hog maws? Well, my wife has. And that is the belly of the pig. And you put some hot sauce on the belly of the pig and you cut it up and you eat. Yeah, you say, I don't like that. Well, that's an African-American treat, man, from way back. And we used to, you know, enjoy. We had fellowship meals with all kinds of stuff. And I remember one day our church reached about 25 people. We had about 25 people in Scranton Revival Baptist Church. And Mr. Hebron was talking to me about his vision for the church. He said, Randy, this church is great, man. We're a family, man. We having a great time here. And Dr. Ware was the pastor, you know, and I was his assistant. And we're just having a great time. Randy, he said, I think we ought to cap it right here. We shouldn't grow anymore. We don't want to bring any more people in because we're going to spoil this family. Well, what did he lack there? He lacked a sense of the breadth, the width, the wideness of God's love. And God's love is much bigger and wider than he realized. And this is what the apostle is praying for, that you would grasp the width of his love. I remember going to a pastor school in Hammond, Indiana. And I went there to Hammond, Indiana. And I remember seeing these people getting saved and baptized and being added to that great church and seeing so many people, thousands and thousands of people going to Sunday school and church. And I remember they were reaching into Chicago, into the inner city, and they had all these different people, and he would line them all up and let the pastors and the delegates to pastor school just see culture after culture of people. He'd have people, you know, from the Polish culture in Chicago. He'd have people from the Hispanic culture there, and all the different cultures, and they had one Bible and one Holy Spirit and one Jesus, and it was exciting to see what God was doing. And these people would come out of the inner city, out of the ghettos, and they would have their whole lives and families blessed. And he would just, and I got a vision for the width of God's love, the breadth of it, how wide it is, how far reaching it is. And what I'm saying tonight is, if you are meditating upon Christ's love and the wideness of it, then you want more numbers in the church. You're not satisfied with the people that we have because you say, I want more people to know this. I want more people to enjoy this. You say, well, you're just after numbers. No, I'm after people and more people. It's wide. The width of God's love. But you need a touch from the Holy Spirit. Because if you don't have that touch with the Holy Spirit, it's just me and mine and nobody else, you know. But that's not what he's praying for here. And this is what revival brings. It brings to your heart that you want to grow. I think of our school. Thank God when I see our Christian school kids that are there, that are members of the families that are part of this church. But I also thank God when bus kids get saved and they become part of the Christian school. And I praise God for Oceana's testimony tonight. I didn't know she was going to say that, but it fits in perfectly here. I thank God for the Christian school. And her mother's been coming and being affected by the church and the ministry of the Word of God. And she would like other kids to come. And you know what? It does my heart good. I want the Christian school to grow. Amen. Under the church. And to see more kids getting involved. Because I want people to know the love of God. New people, not just our own. If it's just me and mine and my family and it's narrow, well, then that's your vision. But you need a touch from God. You need a wider vision. And I need a wider vision. And thank God for men of God that have vision. Because where there is no vision, the people perish. And so it says, notice verse 18, may be able to comprehend. This speaks of the width of God's love. With all the saints. By the way, he says, with all the saints. I don't just want to have revival myself. I want the deacons to have it. Their wives to have it. The members of this church to have it. I want the whole church to have revival. And to see that spread, amen, with all the saints. And that speaks of the width of his love too. I want more people to know these things. And I remember just having fellowship with Dr. Ware, and we had our Revival Seekers prayer meeting, started at Baptist Bible, and we were on fire for God. We were talking about Christ. But Brother Ware would say, if you talked about anything else, now, Bloom, you're talking trash, you know, get back to the, and we had revival going on. But we wanted that thing to spread. We wanted other people to get a hold of it. And we were praying for that. But he doesn't only say that. He says, then there's the length of the love of Christ. He says, notice, not only the width, but the length of the love of Christ. You know what that's talking about? How long he loved you. You know, the Bible says we love him because he loved us first. Do you realize that? Do you comprehend that? Capiche? How long he's loved us? You know, the Bible says how long he loved us. And I ask people, do you know how long you've been in the Lamb's Book of Life? You know what most people say to me? Well, from the time I got saved, I've been in the Lamb's Book of Life. He wrote me down there. And you'd be wrong to think that. He didn't write you down in the Lamb. He wrote you with love in the Lamb's Book of Life. And the Bible puts it in Revelation 13:8. It says, "Who?" And it's speaking of people who are not saved in the end times and who will not accept Christ. And it says in Revelation 13, whose names are not written in the Book of Life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Do you know what that's saying? That from the foundation of the world, God put the names of all those that would be saved in the Lamb's Book of Life. And then he agreed with the Lord that the Lord would shed his blood to save those people and to pay for all their sins and to guarantee that they would be saved and kept by the grace of God. That is the length of the love of God. And he says, not only from the foundation of the world, but Ephesians 1 verse 4 says, he chose you to be his before the foundation of the world. You say, well then, how long is the love of God for his people? It's everlasting. It's from everlasting to everlasting. He said, yea, I've loved thee with an everlasting love. And so he wants you in revival to be able to comprehend the love of God for his chosen ones in Christ, written in the Lamb's Book of Life from the foundation of the world, but love from all eternity. Thank God for that. And our former pastor, Charles Ware, used to say, this meditation on the love of God and the grace of God and the sovereignty of God in loving us this way is the strength of the soldiering saint. It's not an excuse of the sleeping saint. If that just becomes something I'm using as an excuse to stay asleep and say, thank God he's loved me forever, then I'm missing the width of his love. He says, other sheep have I. They're not in this fold. He said that my house may be full. Amen. And so when God's working in your life, you get the breadth of it and you get the length of it and you can meditate upon these things. And even the Bible says this will be something, this kind of revival will need in the meditation on the love of God as we face the last days. Have you noticed we're getting closer to the end time? Have you noticed we're getting closer to the 70th week of Daniel? We're not there yet, but we're getting closer. We're not into Matthew 24 like some people think yet, but we're getting closer. And Revelation 6. And the Bible says, the beast that thou sawest was and is not and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition. And they that dwell on the earth shall wonder whose names are not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they behold the beast that was and is not and yet is. You know what? It's the love of God in Christ Jesus that puts us in that Lamb's Book of Life. and will keep us from the devil in these last days, that will keep us from the power of the beast when he comes back from the dead, that will keep us when this world with devils filled should threaten to undo us, when Satan and his angels are beaten in heaven and they come down to earth and they fill the earth. It's going to be such a time. How can we win out over these powerful, horrible beings? I personally believe that UFOs are going to come out in the open and they're going to be devils, fallen angels, but they're going to lie and say they're aliens from another planet. And it's all going to come. Deception's going to come. But listen to me. Thank God for the length of his love. And that love is not going to let you go. It's not going to let you go. As your days, so shall your strength be. And so we have the breadth of it, the length of it. Are you meditating on these things? How about the depth of Christ's love? He says the breadth, the length, the depth. What does that mean? That means that Christ's love stoops down to the lowest of the low. You know, we came to Scranton, they said, don't start a church in the ghetto of Scranton where you guys are going. We were young men. They said, start it in the middle class or start a mission under a church. Do not start a church in the ghetto. And we said, well, God led us there, and that's where we went. And I just want you to know tonight, your church is started in a ghetto. Amen. Don't ever forget that. And I remember one of the people in our church was a prostitute. She wasn't a member of the church until she got saved, but she was a prostitute. And I remember witnessing to John's, and I remember her husband was the pimp. Her husband was the pimp. What a mess. And I remember this young lady, about 25 years of age, she got saved, and she had struggles in her life, but God was working in her life. And you know what? One of the ladies that is a member of our church right now, that's her grandmother. That was her grandmother. And what I'm saying to you tonight is the depth of the love of God. Let's not forget the depth, that it reaches down to those that are low and loves them and blesses them and helps them. And listen to me, when somebody gets saved, usually their life is strengthened and blessed, and they're blessed in their life, and the Lord begins to heal you and make a family and make a home, and you're blessed more financially, you're blessed more physically, you're blessed more. Every part of your life is blessed. But you know what we sometimes do? We forget the down and out. We forget where we came from. Don't ever forget the bus ministry. Don't ever forget the people that are mentally challenged. Don't ever forget the down and out. And I believe when God gives us the middle class, it's because the low class he lifts up. And sometimes he saves middle class people, but when he saves them, they want to participate in the love of God, to reach down and to lift people up. Don't give up on our bus ministry. If you're middle class, don't say, I despise these people. They don't have the social skills I have. They don't have the money I have. They don't have the mores I have. Well, wait a minute. Where'd you get yours, friend? God had to lift you. Amen. God had to lift you. And so this is revival. It's to meditate on the love of God, the breadth of it, the wideness of it, the length of it, the depth of it. And then he concludes it. He says the height of the love of God. And he's talking about the height of it. When I think of the height of it, I think of Mephibosheth. How many know who Mephibosheth is in the Bible? Amen. Well, Mephibosheth, I've preached on him. He was the son of an enemy of King David, an enemy king by the name of King Saul. And normally what did, one of the men tell me, what did the people do with the enemy kings? Brother Luke? They would kill them, he said. And he's right. And by the way, God had every right to kill every one of us because we've been his enemies. I was his enemy. You're his enemy. He could have killed you. And if he really wanted to be nice, he could forgive you and let you come in as a second-class citizen. But did he do that with Mephibosheth? Oh, no. He took Mephibosheth in as one of his own sons. And he ate at the king's table. And he gave him an inheritance of land and made Ziba's family serve him. By the way, how many have read about Ziba and what he said about Mephibosheth when David was being chastened and had to leave Jerusalem? He said, Ziba said that Mephibosheth said, good, now Saul is going to take back over. Or Saul's getting revenge. And I want to say tonight in Mephibosheth's defense that Ziba lied about him. He slandered him. You say, how do you know that? Mephibosheth never shaved. He never changed the day that David was exiled. He showed his faithfulness. And Ziba did not let him get on his horse because he was lame. And he deceived him and then lied about him so he could take his land. But let me tell you something. David said, I'll split the land between you and Ziba when he came back. And Mephibosheth, I don't care as long as my king is back. He was good. And our God is good. He blesses us. He lifts us up. And because he's loved us, that's why we love him back. Because he elevates us to a high height. And the Bible says this in Ephesians 1:18. He said, this is another prayer of the apostle. He said, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of your calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Do you realize that God could have just forgiven you if he didn't just condemn you, but he elevated you to become one of his sons? And not only that, but the angels of God, who are the sons of God without procreation, they're the direct creation of God. These sons of God, who are more powerful than us, who are stronger than us and greater than us, these sons of God he appointed that never sinned. The elect angels that never sinned and never will sin. He appointed them to guard you and to serve you. They're here tonight. God has treated us as kings and priests unto God. Every believer is a priest. He's elevated us. Do you realize that? God says you need to have your mind, listen, touched by the Holy Spirit to comprehend these things. So that you can walk worthy of royalty that God has made you. And to know in the kingdom to come, he's given you an inheritance. The world to come is not going to the globalists. It's not going to George Soros. It's not going to Bill Gates. It's not going to the globalists. It's going to you, the poor, the needy, the condemned, that have been saved by the grace of God, like Mephibosheth, and he's elevated you. I'm talking about the height of God's love. Do you know the hope that he has for you? Listen, you're not competing against somebody else in the Christian life. You're competing against God's hope for you. And that means his certain plan for your future. He wants to use you in a glorious way. And you might know the hope of that calling. That's why you just stay with him. You know, sometime you may get discouraged and think, God's just bringing me down, bringing me down. Listen, humility always precedes honor. He will humble you. He humbled King David. Amen. He was chased by Saul like a bird and had to run for his life. He had to play like he was insane one time to survive. He had to go through so much, but when God elevated him, he elevated him. And his kingdom, he blessed it. Do you realize what your future is? You're going to reign with the King of Kings over the world, friend. You're in training. Live up to your privilege. But to do that, listen to me, you need to be touched by the Spirit to comprehend, to meditate upon the height that God's love has and the depth he had to go to get you, and then the width of it and the breadth of it, and then the length of his love. And we need to be meditating on all of that. But some people are so caught up with their hobbies, their sporting events, their video games, family fun and friends, that they seldom take time, like these great revival saints, like David Brainerd, to meditate on Christ and his love and the Father's love for us. And then there are some of you, you're like Martha. You're so busy doing this and that. You're like a Martha. Your mind is cluttered. It's so busy. You don't have time to meditate on God's love. Don't have time to meditate on the Bible and the great truths of the Bible. And to pray and have the Holy Spirit unfold God's love to you. Charlie Ware, our former pastor, used to say, the grace of God is unfolded to us in Christ and in the Word of God. And our faith can latch on to it, can receive it and take it in. That's what you need. But so many people are malnourished. They're not doing these things. And is it any wonder they're not really living the normal Christian life? But that's what revival praying does. Would you take this prayer and pray it for yourself? Pray it for your family. Pray it for the church family. That the Spirit of God would put this in our life. And we prayed for some practical things tonight. Thank God for that. But this is a spiritual prayer. This is revival prayer. And this is what we need. May God help you, teenager, adult, single, married, to get this. And we have more to talk about. There's another stage and a higher part of it. But let us get up to where we are through answered prayer. Let's pray together tonight. I'm going to ask your head bowed and eye closed. And I wonder tonight, you say,